Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of being able to meet, to be able to hold and have your word in our hands. What a blessing that is, and how blessed we are, and all through history, how short a time really in the 6,000, whatever it is, years of history, that Bibles were actually available for the people to hold and to read, and where they weren't prohibited to read the Bible. And you have blessed us beyond belief. And what are we doing with your word, I guess, is the question. We all agree with it. We all know it is good, but help us to have our lives changed as we apply the beautiful things you tell us in your word. So lead us this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue with the Psalms, and we're in that section of where David is being pursued by his enemy. And today in Psalm 57, nothing new in there. He's still being pursued by his enemy. The psalm is actually introduced by saying a miktam, or a teaching psalm, of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Now, we don't know for sure, is this the cave of Adullam, or is this the cave of En-Gedi, or maybe other caves as well. But anyway, we can think of being in a cave. And so, when's the last time you were in a cave? Meaning that you got driven there by your enemy, and you're in great distress because the enemy is still all around you. And I think we all have that in common because we all have a common enemy. But this is an amazing psalm. When I think of David's youth here, he probably is only about 23 years old. And we see his great maturity. And you know, one of the things that David is going through right now, as we all know, he's in that preparation stage for his becoming king of Israel. He's been anointed. He's been called by the Lord. He knows his calling. But now he's going through all these problems. And I believe that's a good lesson for all of us, because I think God is working in all of us our whole life to prepare us for what's ahead. And as we look at our difficulties, we can look at them in a whole bunch of ways. One way, we can say, woe is me, woe is me. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. It's so bad. Or we could say, is God preparing me for something more than I have now? And the answer is always yes. So how long am I going to be in a rebellious preparation stage? So we see here a remarkable maturity in his faith. And I think we were just in Psalm 55, Psalm 51, particularly Psalm 51 not long ago. And there's a total different situation with David when he was in his 20s and when he was in his 60s or wherever he was when he sinned with Bathsheba and all that. And it's easy for us to look back on times when we were really vibrant and strong, really trusting the Lord. And now we run into problems sometimes, and we kind of have a little more trouble doing that, it seems like, in a way. So maybe this psalm is for you this morning in that regard. There are only 11 verses, and two of the verses are repeated, verse 5 and verse 11. So I thought, rather than have a separate song for the beginning and the end, I'll do the same song, because verse 5 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And the psalm closes on, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. So only 11 verses. If two verses are the same verse, I presume that means they are important. So I couldn't find the right exalt song. I really found one that was 7 minutes long, so I cut it back to 3 minutes and 47 seconds. And so there's a few seams in here. You might hear some things that, well, that sounds kind of strange, but it's not too bad. Anyway, we're not here to critique the technology. We're here to exalt the Lord. So let us sing along, Thou, O Lord, our God, above all the earth. Let us sing together.
Thou, O Lord, our God, above all the earth.
Yes, we do. Oh, what a sight to see you praising the Lord. It's a beautiful sight. Psalm 57, prayer for safety from enemies to the chief musician set to do not destroy. Now, this do not destroy, we have four or five psalms that the next three or four, I think, in succession are set to this same do not destroy. A miktam, that means a teaching psalm of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Now, we notice he begins the first six verses in prayer. And I believe this is in the evening, because he talks about the dawn coming and so forth. And then, when he gets to the morning, it's praise. Such a beautiful thing. But notice his prayer here. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. It's good to cry out for mercy. And I think about his prayer here when he's in great dilemma, and it's not like my prayers at all. My prayers are, I'm crying out, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. You don't know what I'm going through. Help me, Lord. And here he's got all this confidence. Look at what he says here. My soul trusts in you. Is that the first thing you say when you're in great trouble? My soul trusts in you? And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. Here's this mighty fighter, 20 years old, 23 years old maybe, and he's looking to the shelter of God's wings for his refuge. That's very mature, isn't it, in faith? And in the shadows of your wings, I will make my refuge, is the King James. I like some of the other translations better, that this can be translated take as well as make. I like it. I will take my refuge. I don't make my refuge. I think I take my refuge in you until these calamities have passed by. So notice the optimism there. Now, when I get in great trouble, I think it's never going to end. And he says, until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to whom? El Elyon, God Most High. Now, if you count the names of God in here and the references with the capital personal pronouns, you have 21 references. He's calling out to God in 11 verses. That's not bad. That's almost two times a verse, right? You, your, you, your, you, your. I will cry out to whom? Who do you cry out to when you're in real trouble? I cry out to God Most High. And notice this, to God who what? Who performs all things for me. When you're in great trouble, are you saying, God, I sure thank you for performing all these great things for me? I know I don't. I say, Lord, I don't think you're doing it now. I don't feel it now. And then listen to this. He shall. What confidence. What a prayer. How many times in your prayers are you saying, God shall do this, God shall do that, God shall do that? But he says, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Again, what maturity there. He shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. Now remember, he is surrounded by, depending on when this was, several hundred to maybe as many as 600 misfits who were outlaws, who were all in trouble, such a band of hooligans and so forth. But he says, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Or I think he's talking about Saul and his enemy. Maybe, I'm not sure. And their tongue, a sharp sword. And then he goes into this praise. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. So again, how frequently would you slip that into a prayer during great distress? You're worshiping him, right? You're looking to him. You're praising him. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Now, some have likened this psalm to Jonah's cry in the whale, but I don't see Jonah's crying out as quickly and as much as praising the Lord. I think he's in saying, I'm kind of in trouble down here, Lord. But here, David's in trouble too, but still he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. You ever feel that? My soul is bowed down. You feel that? Yes. They have dug a pit for me. In the midst of it, what? They themselves have fallen. Now, that hasn't happened yet. He's there in the cave. They haven't fallen in the pit. But he has that confidence. Say, well, do you look at your enemies that way? Do you look at some? I could fill in a bunch of names here, and I won't. You're a bunch of world leader politicians that are just all evil. That you say they'll get, I mean, that's my prayer that they would, but I haven't said they've already fallen in their net. That hasn't happened yet, has it? But he looks at that way, apparently. So now he goes into praise, these last few verses. My heart is steadfast, O God. Now, picture yourself in a cave in great distress. How steadfast is your heart? He not only says, my heart is steadfast once, he says it twice. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. So often we have a divided heart. We have a fainting heart. Steadfast is not the term that I think of when I think of being in great trouble. My heart is steadfast. And then what? I will sing and give praise. Again. Does that describe you in the cave? I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. Now, I love this last phrase here. I will awaken the dawn. Think what that means. He's not saying, I'm in such trouble I can hardly wait for morning to come. He's saying, I will awaken the morning. I will awaken the dawn. Boy, that's a great way to start a day when you're in trouble. Saying, I can hardly wait for the sun to come up. I mean, I'm looking forward to today. A as opposed to, oh, I can hardly get through this. Oh, this is so terrible. I will awaken the dawn up early, quiet time. How many of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you, I don't know what your schedules are, they may all be different. But boy, that early morning time, there's nothing like it. In my opinion, it's quiet. I feel the presence of the Lord much more than any other time. I mean, in a way, because it's just uninterrupted. And when you get my age, you only have a few good hours a day. Well, that's not true. So I want to use that time. My brain is kind of thinking.
We're all in the same boat.
I mean, it's hard to get close to the Lord when you're napping, right?
Or running around doing stuff.
Yeah. Particularly when you get my age running around doing stuff, you get so tired so quickly, it's like there's... But at any rate, Doug can relate to that, I think, because we were talking about that this morning. Although he's in another orbit, he's still playing tennis 14 times a week or something. Or even with a rotor cup all messed up. Now, that takes a man, I tell you.
It's God. It's all good.
I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. Again, cave time. Is that in your thoughts? You're going to sing among the nations? For what? Your mercy. Now, he came in with mercy in verse 3. Now, he repeats it. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Isn't that a beautiful picture? His mercy. And then he closes again with the same phrase, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. What an example here to end the day with prayer and begin the day with praise. And as we feel ourselves in a great pit, great difficulty, bad news or whatever, get the psalm out and read it and see where your prayer, how it stacks up with David's here. Father, we thank you for your word, and it is just, again, this word is at least 3,000 years old and so timely for all of us. Your word is timeless. And so, Lord, here we are with an opportunity to pray this morning and guide us by your Spirit as we would bring before you the things that you would have us to bring before. Lead us now by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. As we come to a close here, let's exalt him once again.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above, O God.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. Guide us as we go forward. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have one little request to add to this list. I think this psalm has struck a great chord in our hearts because we're believers. But I would like to ask you, in addition to all of those that you're praying for, children and persecuted church and all good, go home and write down 10 names of accountable people, not children. 10 names of accountable people, accountable by age, who don't know the Lord. The most important thing we need is salvation. The majority of the prayers this morning have been for saved people. That's good. We want to pray for saved people. But I would like to suggest we pray for the unsaved as well. And I know I need to pray for that because I'm frequently, my prayer list primarily is filled with people who are believers. They call out and ask for prayer. The unbelievers don't call out and ask for prayer usually, do they? I don't think so. But in the book of Romans, Paul says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. We need to consider the debt we have to the lost. I think we got a greater debt to the lost than we do to the found. Because they don't know the Lord. They don't know the love. They don't know His kindness. They don't know His power. And Paul then says, so as much as is in me, I am ready, or that word could be eager. I am eager to preach the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Basic. But that is what I'm talking about. Giving the gospel to those unbelievers. And we need to do that with prayer. And so would you put down 10 names and just pray for them this week? Maybe put down 10 a day. Because God has each of us in a special place nobody else is in. Because I can almost guarantee that the 10 names will not be identical. Probably won't even be any cross coverage. Maybe they will in a family or something. But, you know, because, you know, we have those people. We pray for them. We pray for some for what? 20, 30, 40 years. They still don't know the Lord. But as long as that's in your heart to pray for them, wish to pray, right? So thank you for being here and participating. And it's just a joy to be with you. And just a joy to be in. So when you picture this cave now, I'm just putting one little additional thing for the cave, and that's the cave of the unbeliever. Talk about enemies. Man of mine, who's got the big enemies? The unbelievers. Because they don't have any defense against that. That you do, really, right? David did. I mean, he... And then the other thing, as we mentioned maybe in passing, the preparation for what he has for us. How many of these people are calling out for prayer are kind of rebelling against the preparation the Lord is doing in their lives? Like me. So we want to discern which is where we really need prayer because we're hurting versus whether we really need prayer because we respond to the pressure, right? So all of those things, you know, but we can remind one another maybe. Thank you for being here. God bless you and keep you.